We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
All right, BT and Sal sitting in for Evan and Tiki. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata here. 888-808-1019 is the number. So, it is wild here where I remember saying to Sal about a week or so ago, like, man, we've had, I can't recall a season where we've had so many different types of seasons, if you will, within one season. Right. Like the way the Mets started versus where the Mets are now, relevant and, you know, right there. The way the Yankees started, you know, looking like they might mess around and win 110 games or so, to where they plummeted to now this re-energized, you know, the base with Chisholm and five straight wins and against a couple of tough teams and tough venues. So it's been a wacky baseball season.
It is. And as I see the Yankees getting back to their winning ways, of course. And we said that when we, what was it, last week, I guess, at the end of last week, where we were talking about what do we think of the four seasons that we've seen?
Yes.
Mets awful, Mets good, Yankees great, Yankees awful. Which one was the most believable? And I think the Mets being good, not as great as, you know, the best team in baseball type good since June 7th, but the Mets being good was the one that we agreed was probably the most realistic. And I think that that's the case. I feel like the Mets have, so like, they stabilized. Okay, big deal. They lost two games to Atlanta. They went 2 out of 3 from Minnesota. They'll keep on moving. They're not a team that's going to be 20 games over 500, but they've been playing well. They're also not a team that's going to go under 500, you wouldn't think. And with the Yankees, you knew they were going to be better than the worst. But it's been, like, they couldn't just win 2 of 3 and then 2 of 3 against Philly. It's an emphatic, you know, resounding 2 wins in Boston and win that series and then sweeping away the Phillies. When they're on, they look like they can't be beat. When they're off, they look like they can't score. That's the problem with them.
Well, I know they've got a lot of home runs, but I don't feel like they're as reliant on the home run. I'm sure it's fairly easy to refute, but just optically, like, watching the Yankees, there were too many years where it was either home run or nothing. And that's how they base their offense. And it was frustrating because that doesn't win in October. You're not hitting elite pitching, you know, with that frequency and with that prowess, you know, that prodigious home run prowess. So to me, it's not a perfect lineup, obviously, but it's more of a grinding lineup, I think, than they've had for years. And it's certainly a big step in the right direction. And, you know, listen, I know Jazz Chisholm is going to cool off, but I mean, dude, you talk about injecting yourself into a season,
right?
And a situation with energy and flair and production. This young man has been, I mean, perfect.
Understood, but he's going to cool off.
I know he is.
And then when he does, you know, like, I can't, that's why I can't get sucked back in again. I do believe that they could be a World Series winning team, sure. But I also have seen too much bad, and I'm also aware enough to know that Jazz is not going to be, you know, he's not going to hit 370 the rest of the way and hit with the power that he has. You know, another 50 home runs. He's hitting his 4 home runs in 4 games. Like, it's just not sustainable. And that has made a difference. Obviously, last night was a huge one for him against the lefty, too. Ooh. An incredible home run right there, which saved the Yankees, you know, that won them the game. So, or, you know, helped them win the game, obviously. But I just don't believe that Verdugo, Glaber, LeMahieu, even Wells, although he's been an impact bat that you could see starting to come on, Volpe, I can't trust these guys to be consistent when they haven't proven that.
Let's get Matt on Long Island, BT and Sal here on the fan sitting in for Evan and Tiki. Matty, what's happening, bud?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hello, Matt.
Hey, I heard the end of the Yankees segment. I heard a little of that. I don't know how to feel about Brian Cashman. I want to love him. I want to hate him. Like, I don't think it would have hurt to me, like, I don't know, a move for a reliever. It didn't have to be a closer. Someone to help out, like, Clay Holmes.
Oh, he's got two of them.
Like, yeah, Brian, too.
One of them pitched today.
Yeah, no, he's... I know. He pitched great Saturday in Fenway. He pitched great today. But then came Tuesday when he loaded the bases on these 3 soft hits.
Yeah.
Scored the wild pitch. He leads the league in blown saves. Or the American League with 8 blown saves.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
like,
a lot.
I think a little bullpen help would have helped. And then, like, I don't know. I would have loved to get Paredes or Yandy Diaz or Peter Fairbanks from Tampa Bay. But I don't know. The reason I love him for not doing that is it because were they asking for Spencer Jones? Were they asking for Dominguez?
Well, I asked him straight up. I said, were you guys were you guys willing to trade Spencer Jones? And he deflected enough, but you knew his answer. His what he said was basically, without saying it, you know, straight up, yeah, if it was the absolute right deal, we were prepared to move on from Spencer Jones. That's what he said. And I think that was the right mindset.
They could have upgraded. I know Mark Leiter has some good metrics and strikeout numbers.
37% K rate.
He's been a bulldog. Used him two nights in a row now. I mean, it looks like he's got a good attitude. But, like, you know, is he a difference maker? We're going to find out. We'll see. Clay Holmes, you know, they can say whatever they want about the soft contact, and they trust Clay Holmes, and he was an all-star. Eight blown saves or whatever it is. I mean,
yeah,
you can't do that as a closer. You have one of those in the postseason, it could ruin your year.
And you know where it started to? I don't know if you remember this. I mean, you do when I say it, but remember the final game in Kansas City?
Yeah, of course.
The day game, four-game series.
Sweep them, yeah.
Yeah, and they played really well, and it was a little nubber to the right side.
Was
and
that his first 4-1 save of the year?
I believe it was.
Anyway, it was early enough, and then that started the Yankees.
A little bit, but it's funny because there was vulnerability there with the soft contact. I think it's overblown, though, to be honest with you. I really do. Because, you know, and I said this at the top. No, not that. That's a problem.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, you know, if it's the Astros or the Guardians or the Orioles and it's 3-2 Yankees October 12th or October whatever, and he's trying to preserve a one-run lead, then I'm not sweating bullets. No, I'm never going to feel fully confident and secure with him. But there's also a little in between. Not everybody's Mariano. John Wetland danced. Goose Gossage danced. John Franco danced. You know, Jesse Orozco danced. Roger McDowell danced.
Chapman blew some big saves, but I wouldn't say Chapman danced a little,
but he felt dominant.
Yeah,
he felt dominant.
And you knew when he was off. When he was off, he couldn't find the strike zone. That's a mess.
That's true. But there's really, Eckersley for 2 or 3 years, untouchable. Mo, there's only a few of those guys. Only a few?
Right.
I mean, who was the closer? What, Will Davis? Is some all-time closer?
No,
he's been in the middle of a couple of runs the last few years. I mean, it's easy to scream what you don't have, but what the Yankees do have is pretty good in totality.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, but we're talking about on a World Series winning team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even trust Edwin Diaz. And in 2022, he had as good a season as I've ever seen from a closer, you know, outside of Rivera, of course. But even that year was on par with something Rivera would do. I don't trust him, but I certainly trust him a hell of a lot more than Clay Holmes.
888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan. Eli is in Washingtonville, New York. What's happening, Eli? How you doing, man?
Hey, gentlemen. Yeah, I caught the last, part of that interview. And Sal, you're disappointing me, man. I expected you to... to be like that congressional trial with the head of the CIA. Every question should have ended with, "Yeah, so when are you going to give me a resignation?" That's what I wanted to hear.
Talking about the FBI. Yeah. And Eli, where does that go? He hangs up.
Yeah.
You can't disrespect somebody.
I'm just joking, but
okay.
But listen, like Brian Cashman, he does a lot of filibuster. Like he'll go in and he'll go into, he'll talk around questions.
Yep.
And you never get a direct answer.
Not today.
Okay,
nonsense.
But I can't control that. All we could do is ask the question.
No, hold on a second. By the way, that's accurate. Yeah. But Eli, you're right. That is the scouting report on Brian Cashman. You ask him a question, and, 3 minutes later, in a meandering, very smart job, approach by him, he doesn't really give you the answer. Listen to the interview. Now, I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours and defend the interview, but what we asked was answered. I can promise you that.
Well, not everything, but that's fine. Like, what's your biggest weakness?
Well, it's not going to divulge state secrets or disrespect his roster.
Well, exactly, but that's the point. Like, we have questions that we want to ask. You also have to ask questions. At some point, you want to get information out of him or as much as you can. You don't want to just... draw blood from him. Hey, why'd you make this move, knucklehead?
Yeah.
Oh, how'd that one work out? Hey, how's Josh Donaldson doing, Cash? Like, what good's that going to do? You're nothing.
Paying Hicks?
Yeah, exactly. He even brought up Gallo or whatever it may be.
I brought up Gallo.
So I wanted to get, at a certain point, especially after BT went at him a little bit with, questioning the moves or whatever, I wanted to get information out of him. I could ask the questions. He's got to answer them. But it's not going to be, you should be fired. That's stupid. And by the way, not only would you not say that to him, there are certain, like I've always said this about Cashman too, I would have moved on from him and Boone after the 2021 season.
Me too.
Just because it was time for a change.
Yes.
That's what happens in sports. Just like Cashman told Joe Girardi, how do you let a manager go that got you to game seven of the ALCS in a year where you went into that season with zero expectation? How could you justify firing that manager or not re-signing him? The Yankees were supposed to be bad, a rebuilding team in 2017. Yet Joe Girardi, the manager, got them to game seven of the ALCS. And the Yankees said, thanks, but no thanks. Because they had decided, predetermined before those postseason games played out, that they were ready to move on.
But why?
From a World Series winning manager.
Why?
Well, in their mind.
You know the answer.
In their mind, they wanted somebody a little softer. And that they can control.
A little more compliant, maybe, is a better word.
Also, you know, softer on the players, you know, with Gary Sanchez was a specific example that Girardi was difficult.
But also more, amenable to organizational input.
Okay, but
Girardi's like, this is what I'm doing.
But that was their, whatever. They made the decision, fine, but it couldn't have been based on results, obviously, because he got them to a point where they haven't been back since.
Yeah, I hear you.
He left. So it wouldn't have been based on Cashman's results, necessarily. He's been a great GM. How could you argue his sustained success? Nobody's comparable. You know, 30-plus years missing the playoffs, what, four times, or whatever it may be. It would have just been, it's sports, it's stale, it's time for a change. Thank you for being one of the great GMs ever. Time for a change, just like they told Girardi. So that's it. But it didn't happen, and it's not going to happen anytime soon.
If you guys missed it, the free Odyssey app, go check it out. Hit rewind, get up to speed. Cash was forthright. It was. And, you know, there's a couple different versions of Brian Cashman that you get over the years. Sometimes a little cranky, you know, and he's not alone in this regard. You know, GMs and presidents and bosses, you know, when they come on, whether it's a Mara for a State of the Giants, I mean, there's an agenda.
Yeah, right.
There's their own narrative. I honestly thought he was, I think he was great today. Listen, if I was him and getting asked some of the things that he's getting asked, I probably wouldn't be thrilled, but it is what it is. He's a big boy. He's been here forever.
I like that and I've heard a million interviews with him before. I've never done one with him before, so it was nice to have him on, but I've heard a million, and he's like at times robotic. Like he'll answer the questions. He's transparent, but he's robotic.
He was a human being today.
Yeah, I thought he showed some personality.
Yep.
To the coolest point, I don't know whether to love Cashman or hate him. Like, how can you not? He's transparent. He's honest. He could get testy, which you and I both love. Like,
I love that part. That. Yeah, he's a human. Yeah, love that.
So from that standpoint, I think Cashman would be fun. But you also have to look at it from a fan standpoint. Sometimes you feel like it got stale. Right or wrong, doesn't mean we're right if you wanted to move on. Or fans do currently want to move him. Right or wrong, the guy's done a great job.
Well, where it gets unfair with somebody like Brian, that's why I asked him. I asked him at the end if he feels underappreciated. You know,
thought that was a great question.
Thanks. After we knocked it around for a little bit, you know, I want him to understand, like, you know, he's got a complex legacy. Because depending upon how old you are, that's your perspective. That's your scope. Right. So it's either, this team hasn't won since 2009. They haven't adapted to the changes in the game. The Rays, look what they've done with, not this year necessarily, but in totality. The Rays and the minor league system and how they, you know, maximize and the way they allocate their funds versus what the Yankees do. They kind of go in, but not all in, and they have no lefty bats, and they have no left fielder, and they don't develop starting pitching. Like, that's the most recent iteration, and I've led the charge.
Right.
I've been saying for years. I mean, the line Gio and Boomer played all the time, like, you know, Brian Cashman has not earned the right. I said it with Tiki when me and Tiki were together, has not earned the right to rebuild the Yankees the way they need to get rebuilt. I said that, I guess it was 2.5, 3 years ago on the stage, and I meant it. But that doesn't mean that when somebody comes on the air, you just blatantly disrespect them. Now, what I would not respect is when you have a specific position, as I do, as you have, as others have, and then you get the subject that you're at times critical of, and you just kiss his ass.
Right.
Like, no, nobody's here for that. But, you know, it's a human being who has had a ton of success. And let's face it, it's an interesting line to straddle, and I give him credit for straddling it like a pro.
Were we supposed to lead like Frank Costanza with George Steinbrenner? Hey, we welcome in Brian Cashman. What took you so long to get a damn lefty in that lineup? Why did you move Glaber to shortstop? What's wrong with you? I mean, come on.
Truth of the matter is, you know, both you and I know there's a piece of us that want to. Trust me, if there's any two guys that want to kind of start that way, it's kind of us. But
that is true.
Oh, my God. 888-808-1019. Teen Sal. All right, what do we do? Do I have to read? Do I break? Do I have to break? It's not our show. Can we blow by breaks? I don't care. What do we do? Get a quick timeout. We'll get a timeout. We're here for Evan and Tiki. We'll come back. We'll get these calls. We were going to do a little something on Rodgers and the Jets. We'll actually do that tomorrow on our show. Let's just keep rolling here with the baseball calls. Not just the Yankees, but the Mets as well. BT and Sal up until 7 on The Fan. All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan and for Evan and Tiki. Back to these calls here. 888-808-1019 is the number. First up, Odyssey Lottery Recap brought to you by Jack Pocket. Powerball is now $154 million, and Mega Millions is now $358 million. Order Powerball and Mega Millions on your phone using the Jack Pocket app. 18 or older, gambling problem in New York City, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New Jersey, call 800-GAMBLER. See jackpocket.com/TOS for terms. As always, we're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. All right, let me get Jim and Morris Plains, BT and Sal on The Fan. What's happening, Jim?
Sally, baby! BT, how we doing tonight?
What's up, Jim?
Long time, Sal. It's been a bit since I talked to you in the overnights. How's everything going?
Great. Actually, I'm off the overnights.
I know.
Yeah.
I missed the call with Cash, but I just wanted to bring up the fact that the Yankees are a different team with Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, everybody says the record with Alvarez and the Mets when he plays, but if you look at the record with Stanton and the Yankees this year when he plays, it's like...
Yeah, but hold on a sec, Jim. Now, hold on a sec, Jim. I get you. I'm not saying that he's without value, but I forgot. Was Stanton on the team last year? What about the year before?
The year before that. If you look at when in 2021 and 22 when they were in the playoffs.
No, I understand that, but what did he do against the Guardians or the Astros?
Yeah, he was one of their best players.
In the postseason?
No. Giancarlo Stanton.
Against the Red Sox, yes.
Yes. Going back to 2022, nobody really did anything. Outside of Bader.
Bader was the postseason
monster.
Bader
had 5 bombs.
Here's what I would say about Stanton, and even Jazz to a certain extent, although how could you argue the energy and production that Jazz has had since he's come
here? Dude, I love his demeanor, by the way. It's so good for this team.
Me too. It's
so
fun.
Refreshing.
First of all, he's a terrific ball player.
He is.
You put him at third base,
yeah.
He plays the game well. He's a ball player. Anyway, but this turnaround started Friday night. And the Yankees scored 7 runs in the loss to the Red Sox. Okay, they lost the game, but they scored a bunch of runs. They lost because Stroman, couldn't get it done, and then the bullpen, whatever it may be. But the Yankees' offense, after looking pathetic and embarrassing against the Mets, they started to turn the corner Friday against the Red Sox. No Giancarlo and no Jazz. Saturday, they score 11 runs. No Giancarlo. Sunday, they score, and that was the day that they traded for Jazz.
Yeah.
They score 8 runs against the Red Sox Sunday night.
He only went 1-for-5. Remember, he got a hit last at bat, a little ground ball base hit.
Still no Stanton and still minimal Jazz.
Yes.
And it's not like Stanton has done anything, and you want to talk about his presence? But my point is, everybody else is starting to get it going. The Yankees scored 7, 11, and then 8 runs in 3 consecutive games without Stanton or really even Jazz.
Yeah, and they've hit some good pitchers, too.
Yeah, well, they beat him up.
I'm saying they have not fed on, D-minus pitchers. They've knocked around a couple of good ones.
No, the last team to shut them down, Mets. Those dominant lefties that the Mets threw out there.
Yeah,
Manaea, Quintana, Peterson. I mean, the Mets, robust rotation. So much so that they didn't even need to add a top guy.
Yeah, why would you? You guys are set. You're loaded. Yeah.
They went out there and shut down the Yankees.
What's that?
No, I'm saying they went out there and shut down the Yankees.
They did.
It is, BT, I'm telling you now.
What?
There's going to be hell to pay if and when the Mets make the postseason and if and when these starters don't get the job done. I'm going to lose my mind with it.
I mean, but, okay.
Maybe I know what you're saying because you expect it, right? Like, we expect it. Why would you go nuts? And that's the point. That we expect it. And that Stearns basically acknowledged that. Like, hey, we're built to build a playoff team. We made our team a little bit better. And we're gonna find out.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they don't care. And it infuriates me because I do care and I don't want to care. I don't want to care as much as I do. I want to care at their level. We're just like, oh, okay. Yeah, it's great. We kept our prospects intact. So let's play it out over the next, 5 years before any of these guys come up. How long did it take Brandon Nimmo to come up? Oh, and by the way, what happened to Brandon Nimmo? I thought Brandon Nimmo.
He's hitting like 235 all of a sudden.
Yeah, hey, Mr. I want to be an all-star. He goes on a stretch for 2 weeks, and now what?
And he's a little bit banged up, too.
Yeah, I know. He said he'll be fine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to knock Nimmo. I like him, but...
No, I like Nimmo, too, but he's been quiet. Can you get some hits here? Yeah. They've been quiet. Been very quiet. How about... let me see. How about Mitchell in Fort Lee? Oh. Mitch, BT and Sal, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, BT. Hey, Sal. How are you?
What's
guys?
Up, Mitchell?
Hey, great
what's up, man?
Great... What's up, Sal? Great interview with Cashman. You know what? Everyone on the fan and I was, you know, listening to Cashman, what he said about, you know, he doesn't read the papers, he doesn't read, you know, he doesn't listen to WFAN and everything else. And maybe that's true, maybe that's not. But, you know, there's one thing about him, for all the years I've listened to the fan and when Cashman's been on, he's always been, when you ask him a question, he'll give you an answer. He just won't just give you, no, I won't answer it. He gives an answer. And everyone that I've heard in the fan, I watched it on Facebook, on all the sites, everyone complains about Cashman. Who else would you want as a GM? He did. He's done a great job this year. The Yankees, you know.
I know he's done a great job. Great. So I'm going to let you finish, Mitch. Great's a little strong. Let's not lay it on too thick. He's great. I mean,
okay, let's
great.
See. Okay, take it back. Good maybe. Job. And, you know, you got to remember something else. You had some injuries here, and like you guys just both said about 3 minutes ago, when the Yankees, I was at both Yankee games against the Mets, the Yankees looked complete disaster. They looked like it wasn't even funny. But now that they made the trade and you're getting back these players now, they look like a totally different team. And, you know, especially getting back, you're going to get the Greek back soon, you're going to get that Birdie back from the bullpen,
yeah.
And everything else that you're going to get, the team is there. And everyone knows that Schmidt's coming back in 30 days. He'll be back at the end of the month. So, you know, the pitching staff is fine, and the Yankees will be fine. But everyone complains about Cashman. Who else would you want to be the GM of the Yankees and do a better job?
But Mitch,
it is a fair question.
It's a very good question, and thanks for the call. My answer would be I don't know, but that doesn't mean that there's not somebody out there who could have done a better job the last 6, 7, 8 years with the resources that he's exhausted. Now, listen.
Right, and just built it differently.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying.
It's not just about better, too. Obviously, you want better, but it just became time for a change. You wanted a different vision.
Correct. I mean, let's not exonerate, you know, Brian Cashman, the Frankie Montas stuff.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the Joey Gallo stuff, the Josh Donaldson
Aaron
stuff.
Hicks.
Not really having a first baseman, not having a lot of lefty sticks, not having starting pitching. That you develop
Gary
from within.
Sanchez.
Gary Sanchez falling apart. Yeah.
Gleyber Torres moving him to short, moving him back. IKF as a shortstop. Like, there have been a lot of bad moves. And there have been a lot of good ones, too. All the bullpen arms that he finds. Clay Holmes is one of them. Like, nobody heard about Clay Holmes before. Maybe Mark Leiter Jr. turns out to be that. Mark Leiter Jr., whatever. You look at some of the numbers, you start to think, okay. And now maybe the Yankees make him even better, like they've done with a bunch of different guys. Luke Voit. Nobody heard of Luke Voit before. He was a scrub. And he comes to the Yankees, guys mashing home runs left and right. Leaves the Yankees, a scrub again. So
Luke Voit.
Right? I mean.
The guy looked like a softball player.
Yeah. Well, and now he's playing like one.
Remember he used to roll his sleeves all the way up? He had like three buttons open. Oh,
but he was a productive power hitter with the Yankees.
He led the league in home runs in COVID, I believe. I'm pretty sure.
And then, of course, like typical Yankees, he led the league in home runs that year. And then he did nothing in the postseason, which hurt them in that first series against the Rays. But there have been some good and some bad. It's a fair question.
Let me get Evan. Been right here in Manhattan with BT and Sal on the fan. Go ahead, Evan. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Just a quick point. I just want to follow up on that Stanton and Jazz, you know, my opinion and hear you guys' thoughts. But first of all, great thing about today's sweep, just quick point on that, is that it's not that he didn't see some good pitches and da-da-da. Judge just had an off day, happened to the best player in the major leagues like him, and the Yankees still won. And that's a really good sign. Okay? We went 0 for 5, 4 strikeouts, and they still won. As far as Stanton, I got to say that, you know, if you look at the games, like the other caller said, he's not the lights-out cleanup hitter as far as relative to the league, and certainly not anymore with the injuries. But when he hits those home runs and he's third on the team in home runs with all the games out as we expected, he's a difference maker in those games. And he certainly adds more protection in the four hole than J.D. Davis or Alex Verdugo. I mean, you got to agree with that, right?
That who? Giancarlo?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Him being there adds more protection than those guys. But the problem is he's never there because he's always hurt. And even when he is there, he's still not consistent. And he's been very good this year. But to BT's point before, where has he been the last couple years? Not only hurt, but when he's back, he's hitting 200, if that.
All I'm saying is that and that's a fair point. And a guy runs, you know, slower than, you know.
He doesn't run. He doesn't play the field.
I get it.
Okay.
Yep. I'm just saying, until we got somebody better, he's still scares pitchers and with one swing.
He does. Yeah,
yeah, he's real scary. He's real scary. And I get what you're saying.
But
and
he does. He's not wrong. Well, he's not totally wrong with that.
I mean, maybe those pitchers need to, grow some guts here because how scary could a guy who hit 191 a year ago and a guy who hit 211 the year before that? So 2 years in a row, he barely plays. When he does play, he plays 110 games. He hit 211 and 191.
Yeah, but hold on now. To be fair, you're dumbing that down to
Last 2 years.
No, listen, I'm not Stanton. Yeah. I thought he was broken. Like the fact that he came out and he was actually viable this year is a stunning development to everybody. Well, then he got hurt, which is not stunning.
He's played 70 games. Is he even going to play 100 games this year?
But a guy, I don't know.
And that's his MO.
Yeah, but a guy like Stanton, I wouldn't measure. Yeah, I mean, 190 is unacceptable, and to be in the 4th percentile in base running metrics, I mean, you can't even score from second on a 9-hopper to center fielder is embarrassing. I get all that. And I want him off the team because I think he's an albatross financially, defensively, limits what you could do. I'm with you.
Can't play. Yeah, exactly.
But I do think you gloss it over when he's at least somewhat locked in. The fact that you have to grind as a pitcher to get through him because he can kill you and residually the impact that's going to have favorably on the team. There's a little something to it. And
fair enough.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah, like, he's not useless.
I know, but also, BT, I can't get over when he's off.
Yeah.
God, he looks like he can't.
I know.
It looks like he closes his eyes and guesses right. Yeah. And when he does, he hits one 15 miles. But other than that, it's swing and miss city. Like, you could just. No, I feel like a smart pitcher should be able to pitch to him. I know it's easier said than done. But I wouldn't throw him a pitch inside. I wouldn't throw him a strike. Like, I feel like you could get him out. I feel like there are ways to get Giancarlo Stanton out more so than, obviously Soto or Judge, but even better hitters. Now, if you make a mistake, he's going to make you pay. That's what's scary about it.
Let me get Kevin Colmack with BT and Sal. Kev, what's going on? Kev.
All right, God.
Kev is asleep.
We have an issue with the phones again, or is just one right there?
Let's see. Richie's in Queens. I believe Rich will be ready to roll. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, I'm ready to roll with you guys.
Attaboy, Rich.
I was going to call you today. I found out, both of them are taking a vacation day, and then I find out you're doing the midday or the late show. It's good to hear
afternoon
your voice.
Drive. Yeah, I know. We should have.
You had to come and talk to Cash.
You should have let me know, Sal, one way or the other. You know?
I thought I did yesterday. I said yesterday multiple times. But
I might have missed it. To you guys.
Thank you.
A couple of things. With the Mets, am I happy what they did? No. To a certain degree, they did boast at a bullpen, and Sal, you keep saying about a starter. Other than Flaherty, who was a starter?
Well, Blake Snell would have been. Schoolball, forget, because it was a pipe dream.
No, I'm a Giants fan. Snell wasn't going. I told him yesterday.
Everybody's got a price. The Mets could have gotten him.
I know that, and I know you said that, but when I'm talking to San Francisco radio, as much as the Giants, I don't even want to get into them, what they did.
Me neither. We don't care about the Giants.
No, we don't care about the Giants. I agree with you.
Giants we'll talk about tomorrow, not the new San Francisco Giants. Go ahead.
Correct. Now, Senga is a big, big loss for them. They were really dependent because he's the one. And Sal, you talked about it the other day. When Arizona got in last year, it was a surprise, but they had Kelly and Gallion. Those are two good pitchers. And obviously, Texas had Eovaldi and Montgomery. And, those guys were studs last year. I don't know. And that's the same thing, BT, also with the Yankees. I think Cole is he going to be what he was last year? I don't know. Cortez won his first game on the road. The kid looks like he could be really good. I don't know if he runs into an innings limit. Leiter, I'm not a big fan of Leiter. 4.2 ERA.
Yeah, but hold on now. But Rich, you glossed over the one thing that he's bringing to the table that they absolutely needed an injection of. Well, 37% strikeout rate, which is better than
league
average.
That's a big rate, but when he does in the strikeout, I'm talking about your real lockdown relievers have listed 2 ERAs.
Yeah, he's not that. No, he's not. He's hittable. We've seen him the last couple of games. He's got some guts. He's tough. He's going to be a guy that's going to take the ball. He'll come up with some big strikeouts.
He's an option.
Yeah.
Ian Hamilton will get up. Listen, we really do. I don't know. I don't even think people know what they want anymore. Honestly.
You want more. You always want more.
Well, you always want more, but I think
that's what you said before to Cashman. Like, you haven't done enough. That's where he was like, well, based on what?
Well, but don't you think there's a difference between being happy? Like, when I ask you, Sal, are you happy with what the Mets did? Your answer is no.
Well,
but you can accept what they did.
Happy, no.
Because understand the market and what they're playing.
Not even that. I understand what they did, and technically, they did make their team better. Like, the goal of the trade deadline is to make your team better. And both the Mets and Yankees did that to certain extents. And if we're talking about just the Mets, yeah, they made it better, but how much better? Not enough better to be taken seriously, in my opinion, as a team that could get to or win a World Series. And ultimately, for me, if you have an opportunity to get, you know, this team should be a playoff team. So if you know that, why wouldn't you do everything you can to make this team the best that you could possibly now, as opposed to worrying about next year when you have no idea what's going to happen next year?
No, but you have an idea what's going to happen next year. You mean in terms of the standings or in terms of the guys that you're going to retain standings. And how you're going to build that?
Yeah. Even that you don't know. What are they going to do with Pete?
Well, I think that they know.
How about the starting pitching? They may go out and get better starting pitching, but what if they get hurt? The Mets on paper had better starting pitching the last season, with Verlander and Scherzer. How'd that work out? On paper, this year, their rotation was a weakness, and it still is to a certain extent. They could have added to it and solidified it going into the postseason.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not saying you should be doing, cartwheels and backflips and somersaults. You shouldn't be thrilled. But you can accept it. And I think that
I have to, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, you have to. Well, you don't have to. You could just kick and scream forever. And actually, knowing you might.
I don't know if I can. I'm beaten down. They've beaten it out of me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah. You got a guy. Blackburn. Yeah. Woo. Hey. Blackburn, nice move. Yeah.
Chase Blackburn or no?
Yeah, a guy from the Ducks. Who's next?
All right, man. We're back tomorrow at 10. Our regular spot, Sal. Good seeing you again, buddy, after a couple of days.
All right, BT. Good to have you back. See you tomorrow at 10.
Yeah, man. If you guys missed the Brian Cashman chat, go and find it. Odyssey free app, Hit Rewind. Appreciate you guys. Have an awesome rest of your Tuesday. And we got K-Mac, Keith McPherson coming up next. We will see you tomorrow at 10, BT and Sal on The Fan. Back with BT and Sal. Kev, what's going on? Kev.
All right.
Kev is asleep.
We have an issue with the phones again, or is just one there?
Let's see. Richie's in Queens. I believe Rich will be ready to roll. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey, I'm ready to roll with you guys.
Attaboy, Rich.
I was going to call you today. Found out, both of them are taking a vacation day, and then I find out you're doing the midday or the late show. It's good to hear you.
Afternoon drive. Yeah, I know. We should have.
You had to come in and talk to Cash.
You should have let me know, Sal, one way or the other. You know?
I thought I did yesterday. I said yesterday multiple times.
Yeah,
but
I might have missed it. You guys.
Thank you.
A couple of things. With the Mets, am I happy what they did? No. To a certain degree, they did boast of the bullpen. And Sal, you keep saying about a starter. Other than Flaherty, who was a starter?
Well, Blake Snell would have been. Schoolball, forget, because it was a pipe dream.
No, I'm a Giant fan. Snell wasn't going.
Everybody's got a price. The Mets could have gotten him.
I know that, and I know you said that, but when I'm talking to San Francisco radio, as much as the Giants, I don't even want to get into them, what they did.
Neither. We don't care about the Giants.
No, we don't care about the Giants. I agree with you.
Giants we'll talk about tomorrow, not the new San Francisco Giants. Go ahead.
Correct. Now, Senga is a big, big loss for them. They were really dependent because he's the one. And Sal, you talked about it the other day. When Arizona got in last year, I was surprised, but they had Kelly and Gallion. Those are two good pitchers. And obviously, Texas had Evaldi and Montgomery. And, those guys were studs last year. I don't know. And that's the same thing, BT, also with the Yankees. I think Cole is he going to be what he was last year? I don't know. Cortez won his first game on the road. The kid looks like he could be really good. I don't know if he runs into an innings limit. Leiter, I'm not a big fan of Leiter. 4.2 ERA.
Yeah, but Rich, you glossed over the one thing that he's bringing to the table that they absolutely needed an injection of. Well, yeah, 37% strikeout rate, which is better than the league average.
That's a big rate, but when he doesn't strike out, I'm talking about your real lockdown relievers have listed 2 ERAs.
Yeah, and he's not that. No, he's not. He's hittable. We've seen him the last couple of games. He's got some guts. He's tough. He's going to be a guy that's going to take the ball. He'll come up with some big strikeouts.
He's an option.
Yeah.
Ian Hamilton will get up. Listen, we really do. I don't know. I don't even think people know what they want anymore. Honestly.
You want more. You always want more.
Well, you always want more, but I think
that's what you said before to Cashman, you haven't done enough. That's where he was like, well, based on what?
Well, but don't you think there's a difference between, between being happy? Like, when I ask you, Sal, are you happy with what the Mets did? Your answer is no.
Well,
but
happy,
you can accept what they did.
Happy, no.
Because you understand the market and what they're playing.
Not even that. I understand what they did, and technically, they did make their team better. Like, the goal of the trade deadline is to make your team better. And both the Mets and Yankees did that to certain extents. And if we're talking about just the Mets, yeah, they made it better, but how much better? Not enough better to be taken seriously, in my opinion, as a team that could get to or win a World Series. And ultimately, for me, if you have an opportunity to get, this team should be a playoff team. So if you know that, why wouldn't you do everything you can to make this team the best that you could possibly now, as opposed to worrying about next year when you have no idea what's going to happen next year?
No, but you have an idea what's going to happen next year. You mean in terms of the standings or in terms of the guys that you're going to retain standings. And how you're going to build that?
Yeah. Even that you don't know. What are they going to do with Pete?
Well, I think that they know.
How about the starting pitching? They may go out and get better starting pitching, but what if they get hurt? The Mets on paper had better starting pitching the last season, with Verlander and Scherzer. How'd that work out? On paper, this year, their rotation was a weakness, and it still is to a certain extent. They could have added to it and solidified it going into the postseason.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not saying you should be doing, cartwheels and backflips and somersaults. You shouldn't be thrilled. But you can accept it. And I think that
I have to, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, you have to. Well, you don't have to. You could just kick and scream forever. And actually, knowing you, you might.
I don't know if I can. I'm beaten down. They've beaten it out of me.
Oh, man.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah. You got a guy. Blackburn. Yeah.
Woo.
Hey. Blackburn, nice move. Yeah.
Chase Blackburn or no?
Yeah, a guy from the Ducks. Who's next? From the Ducks. Yeah, right.
All right, man. We're back tomorrow at 10. Our regular spot, Sal. Good to see you again, buddy, after a couple of days.
All right, BT. Good to have you back. See you tomorrow at 10.
Yeah, man. If you guys missed the Brian Cashman chat, go and find it. Odyssey free app, Hit Rewind. Appreciate you guys. Have an awesome rest of your Tuesday. And we got K-Mac, Keith McPherson coming up next. We will see you tomorrow at 10, BT and Sal on The Fan.